There are some things that are easier to say when we are 5 than when we are 45. That when we are 5, it is much easier to say that we are afraid of the monsters under our bed. But the older we get, it is much harder to say those words. I am scared. Even though as we get older, there are real monsters hiding underneath our beds. But it's hard for us to say, I am afraid. Perhaps because fear is something to fear as well. And that is where we find the people of God wandering through the wilderness. They had escaped the oppression of Egypt, but now they faced the fear of the wilderness. It was difficult terrain, physically taxing and hard to navigate. They did not know where they were going. They second-guessed every right or left turn. And there were days where they had no food to eat or water to drink. And they were afraid of hostile groups that might attack them or ambush them along the way as they were defenseless. And it all became too much. They started criticizing Moses and even God, thinking that they were on this wild goose chase. Why did you bring us out of Egypt only to let us die in the wilderness? Now, if we were to step into the story, right there in that precise moment, not knowing what's going to happen next, we might anticipate. We might just assume that God is about to send a word of reassurance, to shore up support around us, to point us towards some encouragement. But instead, we find the story peddling more fear. It says that the Lord sent poisonous serpents, which admittedly is difficult to reconcile with our understanding of the steadfast love of God. And it's why we read all of Scripture. Like it says in Deuteronomy 22, if a woman and man are caught in adultery, they are to be stoned. But in the Gospel of John, Jesus says, those without sin cast the first stone. Or like in Deuteronomy 14, where it says, certain food should not be eaten. It is not clean. But then in the book of Acts, Peter hears God say, do not call profane what I have said is clean. Or in Exodus 21, where it says, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But then in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says, you have heard it said, now I say to you, love your enemies. Now, that does not mean that we should second guess everything we find in the Old Testament. Because when Jesus was asked about the greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, he quoted two verses from the Old Testament, one in Deuteronomy and the other in Leviticus. But it does mean we read all of Scripture as we search for clarity about the steadfast love of God. And for us, We find clarity in Jesus, who put the emphasis on forgiveness and not on fear. The fear has a way of sneaking up on us if we're not paying attention. It is, as Peter Marty describes, like sitting in the cabin of the plane right before it pulls away from the gate. That there's so much taking place, from the safety checks and people getting seated, and the pilot is waiting to the very last second to turn on the engines, which means the air is not circulating. And with the air not circulating, the temperature starts to rise and the air quality starts to go down, but it happens so slowly, we never notice it. That slowly, fear can start to enter our lives without us ever noticing it. And it's why the Gospel of John goes back and rereads that story from Numbers, putting the emphasis in a different place. That in answering Nicodemus's questions, it remembers when Moses stood up with that serpent on his staff, and everyone who looked at it was saved, because God did not send the Son into the world to condemn it, but to save it. That the emphasis is placed on forgiveness, not on fear. As one preacher said, fear imprisons, faith liberates. Fear paralyzes, faith empowers. Fear disheartens, faith encourages. Fear sickens, faith heals. Fear makes useless, faith makes serviceable, and most of all, fear puts hopelessness at the heart of life, while faith rejoices in God. Since fear sneaks up on us slowly, sometimes it's hard to recognize it even when it is in front of us. It's like on the playground where a bully decides to embarrass a student. At first, everyone thinks it's funny, but it quickly gets out of hand. A child speaks up, a teacher steps in, the taunting stops. But one question remains. Why did the bully pick on me? And a teacher or a parent tries to explain. It's not because the bully is strong. It's not because you are weak. It's because the bully is weak. The bully is actually afraid. But the child doesn't understand. The only fear he experienced is what he felt. But fear hides in the background. It sneaks up on us, and it's why it is so dangerous, and we should never underestimate it. That we are invited to put the emphasis on compassion and repentance, not just on finger pointing and assigning blame. Henry Nouwen says that we have to believe in the yes that we hear when we ask, "Do you love me?" We have to believe in the yes of God, because it can give us just enough strength to say, "I am afraid. and perhaps even to put it aside so we can put the emphasis on what Jesus puts it on. Because fear is not a good way to make an argument. And fear is not a good way to make a decision. And fear distorts what we see in others. And fear keeps us from seeing God's love in our lives. The power of forgiveness is quite startling. In 1993, Mary Johnson tragically lost her son, Marlon, who was only a teenager. He got into an altercation with another young man that was rooted in the fear that surrounds the culture of gang violence. Oshea Israel, who was in his early 20s, was arrested and convicted of the crime. And understandably, Mary was consumed with bitterness and anger. But after a while, it started to take a toll on her life. She felt empty. And for reasons that was hard for her even to explain, she decided to go and visit Oshea in jail. It was right after reading a poem that caused something to shift inside of her, to change how she felt. She couldn't even explain why, but the poem read, "One mother said, I would have taken my son's place on the cross. The other grieving mother said, you are the mother of Christ? And she started to weep. The first mother said, tell me your son's name so I can grieve with you as well. The second mother said, my son was Judas Iscariot. She could not explain it, but something moved inside of her, and she found the courage to visit Oshea not once, but time and time again. And over time, they started to talk and to wade through the pain and the tears. They spoke honestly about regret and even repentance. And at a given point, she was even able to forgive him. I cannot explain how that happens. It is hard to imagine. But somehow, her emphasis on forgiveness prevented their lives from being torn apart even more than they already had. That when we try to put the emphasis on forgiveness, we can avoid the damages of fear. And it leads us to see God's steadfast love more clearly. Not condemning the world, but saving it. Amen.